Welcome to the SpaceWesterns.com interview with Mark L. Van Name. I'm the editor, Nathan E. Lilly. Mark L. Van Name is a science fiction and technology industry writer who's published over 1,000 computer-related articles on multiple science fiction stories. His stories have been included in multiple anthologies, including Year's Best Science Fiction. His first novel, One Jump Ahead, was made available in June 2007 and features an almost classic Western duo. John Moore, a nanotech-enhanced soldier of fortune, and Battle Wagon Lobo, an AI-equipped intelligence and weapons platform of enormous destructive potential. You can discover even more about Mark L. Van Name and his work at www.markelvanname.com. How did you get into writing science fiction?
I started writing my first SF story in the late 70s, sold my first story about a year later. I actually wrote arguably science fiction stories in the guise of truth as UFO newsletters when I was in ninth grade, but I've always been a reader of SF.
What was your first introduction to space western?
Probably Lester Del Rey YA books from the 60s that were almost as perfect. I don't remember the titles, but almost as perfectly space western as you can imagine. You know, a guy almost riding his spaceship onto a planet, you know, blasters blazing.
How would you define a space western?
Your website gives a definition, the Bat Durston definition, and this is where I'll go more theoretical. To me, the essence of a western is in the particular mythology that it espouses. It's a particular form of the American monomyth, and it's a particularly effective form. The lone figure without attachments or with a very narrow range of attachments, typically a sidekick, rides into town, confronts a problem, solves the problem, and rides out of town so that he is neither in town for the build-up nor in town for the cleanup. He's in town to fix the problem and leave, and he represents both the heroic power of the individual and also the ability to fix the problem and leave. Because there are some really interesting stories to be told on either side of the American monomyth. And so to me, the heart of a space western is an American monomyth-style story told in space.
What would you say the attraction to space westerns is?
People like heroes. I think that there is a strong case to be made that when you live a life like most people that is so complex that you can't solve all your problems, that your life is full of compromises and it is full of accommodations, that somebody who can come in without any attachments and fix big problems is extremely attractive. The notion that one person can ride in and fix the government or fix a particular crisis in our world is very appealing. It's rarely accurate, but on the other hand, real heroes exist and people really do solve major problems through the force of their own strength and leadership and so on. So I think people like heroes, and it's nice to read about them.
The other day you gave a reading for One Jump Ahead, which will appear on the Balticon podcast. In One Jump Ahead, were there any space western themes that came out in that?
Going back to my definition of space western, which would not necessarily be everybody's, a lot of PI fiction, a lot of detective fiction, is also, by that definition, space western, as is a lot of space opera, because there is a notion of the hero with a sidekick and so on. And if you look at most detective books, you actually will have the hero who is too moral to do certain things, who has a sidekick who isn't. And the sidekick will take care of the dirty work that the hero doesn't want to take care of. Or the sidekick will have the specialized knowledge necessary. When I wrote One Jump Ahead, it was not to try and fit a particular genre, but to try and tell an entertaining story about a troubled hero who was very much in the PI-ish mold, but therefore very much in the American monomyth mold. This is a guy who has no attachments. He picks up an attachment, Lobo, his sidekick, who is sort of the extreme version of the sidekick who will do anything. Lobo is a machine, an incredibly powerful battle predator-class assault vehicle, 25 meters long, bristling with weapons, who is supremely intelligent and will do anything. His answer to almost all problems is, I can kill them for you, and he will solve the problems. And John and Lobo have a series of adventures where they come into town, have the adventures, and leave. And John is, for reasons that are intrinsic to who he is that I won't give away, John can't afford to stay anywhere real long. He can't afford to settle down and live somewhere for 20 years.
What was the inspiration for writing One Jump Ahead?
I actually was thinking about writing the first novel, and then Toni Weisskopf was asking, soliciting stories for an anthology. I pitched an idea to her, and my friend Jenny had read my first fiction sale, professional fiction sale, which was a story called My Sister, Myself. I sold it in 1981. It appeared in 1982. And in this story, a retarded boy on a frontier planet is healed by his empathic healer sister, so he's no longer retarded. I had always meant that to be the beginning of a novel. In the story, he is fixed better than he knows. He is not merely made normal, he is made dramatically more than normal. But he doesn't know this yet. And I thought about writing another story about him, but I wanted to write an action story because Toni very much needed an action story for her anthology. And so I came up with this entire universe and history for him. And in this book, he is about 154 years old. And so, and he looks 28. And this is the next John and Lobo story, or the next John Moore story, flashed forward about, as I said, about 138 years, because he was 16 in the previous story.
Can you let me in on any exclusive information, unknown insights, or trade secrets?
Oh, my. Well, I will tell you here, I've never told anybody this. It's kind of obvious if you read really carefully, but most people don't. I spell out that John is an extremely special character. He's the one human in the universe with nanomachines in him. And I have Lobo drop a few hints. What John doesn't know, and no one will get directly in the books till probably the fifth or sixth volume, is that Lobo is not only extremely special, which I'll give hints at, but it is not an accident Lobo was where he was when they met. There are things at work.
What are your current projects?
I have an anthology coming out in February that Toni Weisskopf and I edited. It's called Transhuman, Mankind on the Brink of the Singularity, and it's a collection of, I think, 11 stories, one of them mine, about the technological singularity where machine intelligence passes human intelligence. In the Kurzweilian sense. And there are all kinds of stories in it. I think it's a really big, fun project. I'm not doing it for the money. I'm making no money on this thing. But there are stories from Christmas. There's a Christmas story by Esther Friesner that is screamingly funny, in my opinion, through really transcendent action stories. James Hogan's story is the last in the book, and I think the strongest in the book, to my story, which is about a high school reunion. So there's all sorts of strange stories. It's almost half female writers, which I think is really cool, and they give a different take. And then next June, the sequel to One Jump Ahead, which is called Slanted Jack, will be out, and I am furiously writing that now.